from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And it is April 15th. Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. Actually, this is obviously Tuesday's show, but to me, it's April 15th, and that is a big deal to me.
Happy tax day.
And it's really weird to be able to do stuff on tax day. Just left the gym, and here I am recording a podcast talking about Kansas City reporting back, the players reporting to the stadium and to Arrowhead to start off-season training.
Yeah, they're back in the building and starting to get a look at what's going on, who the new faces are, how they fit in, and get a feel for what everybody's individual position room is going to feel like.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important thing. They have a lot of new pieces. They have a new defense that they need to learn. And obviously, they can't do a lot of football-related stuff, but building chemistry and building a rapport with players is very important, and building a rapport with each other is very important. So happy to hear that it sounds like all of them are there, at least from what I've seen so far on Twitter at this point.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, a couple of them have a leg up on building that rapport, that relationship, because interesting to find out this morning through the beat reporters that Emmanuel Ogba and Chris Jones did their pre-draft training together back in the day and have developed and maintained a relationship since. And evidently, Ogba said that when the trade happened, Chris Jones was the first guy to reach out to him.
Yeah, and I knew that Jones and Ogba were talking on Twitter that day when that trade happened, so that doesn't surprise me. I knew they'd done something together because they seemed to be friends, but that obviously is a good sign for things to come for Kansas City, because Ogba is going to be here, Chris Jones is going to be here. They're going to have some familiarity, and they're going to have some chemistry already. That's a great sign, and you know, obviously they have a lot of new pieces that they're going to have in this defense this year, so getting this program started and getting it started on the right note is a good thing to have happen. And, you know, it does sound like Tyreek Hill is there. You know, the team isn't going to comment. Tyreek is not talking to the media, which is smart on their part. Travis Kelce did talk to the media. He is out of his walking boot as of Friday, I think, from his off-season surgery. And honestly, that is another reason why I've always thought that this is a great year for Kansas City to draft a tight end, because if you go and draft a guy, even if you draft him high, which I know a lot of people don't want to do, but even if you do, he's going to get a lot of work this year. I expect Travis Kelce to be ready for training camp, and I expect him to be available for all of training camp, but I can't expect that Kansas City is going to want to really push the envelope with him in training camp. They're going to want to, you know, ease him back in. He knows this offense. He knows what Reed wants to do. So there's going to be plenty of snaps for a young guy to get.
Yeah, and that's going to be key in developing him, because you're right. This is something, what we heard before today, good that he's out of the boot, but the plan is for him not to participate in off-season workouts at all. So we're talking about camp before Travis Kelce is even back and running with the team, even in, you know, light contact 7-on-7 or whatever. So
I have to say this just because I find it funny, and because it's coming from Kelce, I find it even funnier. But he talked about during his media session that he was amazed. He had never been around somebody that had such popularity and notoriety as Mahomes when he was with Mahomes at the Final Four. And to me, that just sounds funny because it's Travis Kelce.
Yeah, right. TV shows and all, yeah. But, you know, be an MVP. See what that does
obviously,
for you.
I mean, you know, obviously he does a great thing, and Mahomes deserves it. He's a great asset. He's going to be a great asset going for this team going forward, and he's a great leader. And all of the guys have said, you know, this nothing has changed him. He is still the same guy he was when they drafted him. So that's a good sign as well.
Yeah, that definitely helps. And it's that camaraderie that helps you have the base set for when you bring in new players, like whoever's going to be a possible draft choice at tight end, any new wide receivers. I expect some. So having that chemistry, that obvious connection. And I feel like from everything that we've seen from the two of them together is that they have a very loose, kind of cordial, relaxed kind of air about them. And I think that helps. Take some of the pressure off of new, especially rookies coming into this team.
Absolutely. And, you know, at this point, even though Mahomes has only been the starter for 1 year, he's going to command the respect of any rookie that comes into that locker room just because of what he was able to do last year. Now, a QB should command that respect regardless, but you talk about an NFL MVP, as a second year player. Guys are going to listen to him. He's still young and he's still going to have all those guys' ears. So it's a fantastic situation for Kansas City moving forward.
Yeah, and it's something they're going to have to build on, because this is going to be a season, I think, that's going to be very interesting in terms of transition at some key positions. Good that Tyreek Hill's there, but I think the team's taking the right attitude that until we know something, we're going to act like we don't know anything. So fair enough. But if it does come down, if something, whatever the results are of all these things, if there is some kind of suspension or something like that, it's going to take, I think, what is probably the most difficult position outside of quarterback on this roster is trying to play wide receiver in this offense. So there's going to be some new blood there too. And seeing that back and forth between Kelce and Mahomes, and you'd like to see that despite Tyreek with Watkins and some of the other guys, there's got to be some new blood that makes that connection as well.
Oh, absolutely. And it's going to be very, very important to see what Kansas City does on draft weekend, because I know that it's, you know, we are both on the same page as they need wide receiver help. And I'm probably a little bit higher on that than most, but I really do think that it could be a very big sign on Kansas City's part if they do take a wide receiver early on, how they feel about the whole situation and what it means going forward. I mean, it could mean nothing, but people are certainly going to make the suggestion that it means something if Kansas City does draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds, which I think they certainly will, because I think there's a lot of depth there. And I'm not sure that wide receivers go early in this draft. We do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about a rumor that has been percolating for the past couple of days.
The Athletic Matrix Draft Guide from Rogue Analytics is available now. And we've got a special discount code for our listeners. At checkout, enter the code LOCKEDON to get your discount. Go to rogueapc.com, that's rogueapc.com, and get the Athletic Matrix Draft Guide for the 2019 NFL Draft.
And make sure you're checking out Himalaya, because you can get us over there too, brand new app. And I want to say, check out Locked On NFL too, because what we've done as a network, we took not only just the hosts of the Locked On shows per team and did a giant mock draft with them, but we also brought in draft dudes, as well as the Locked On Draft Show, all the guys that look at the draft from their perspective and added their takes as well. Then we went and got, because this Locked On network is so huge, we were able to go to some of the college shows. So you have representatives of, you know, Michigan when Rashawn is taken. You get that kind of perspective both from the college and from the Locked On professional shows. It's a great thing. It's running all week long over on Locked On NFL. And the first show was out on Monday. We obviously are not trading. We're going to pick at 29. So you'll hear our pick as Chris and I go through the war room on Friday. So definitely don't miss that one. But there's a lot of fireworks the whole week long. So check out Locked On NFL for that special series of our network mock draft.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to record. So I'm looking forward to listening, to being able to listen to it, because I mean, we haven't got a chance to listen to what actually happened for all the other teams. We know who people took, but getting a chance to listen to all that will be fun. Okay, so this trade that I was talking about, I don't see Kansas City doing this, and I have to specify that up front just because I really just can't see it. But it sounds like Seattle is looking, trying to trade Frank Clark right now.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people touting this that supposedly have inside information, but I haven't seen anybody national that has a reputation for knowing the interior of the Chiefs front office. So I'm a little bit hesitant, but let's talk about the pluses and minuses, because at first glance, it's like, okay, he's on a franchise tag, same as D Ford. You're still looking at having to give him a long-term contract if you were to trade for him. So in terms of the money and the perspective of starting over, from scratch and having that low cap threshold that you're able to go build all the way through with a ton of money to spend, it kind of defeats that purpose.
It does a little bit. And I completely agree with that. The difference with Frank Clark versus D Ford is Frank Clark is 273 pounds.
Right. And he plays in a 4-3 now.
Yep. And that is a huge difference. And people think that it's not, but I'm telling you, that is a big deal. You know, that's 40 pounds on D Ford from last year.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Huge. He's been productive. He's had 3 seasons of 10 plus sacks.
Yep.
He's had 3 seasons of 50 plus pressures. I think he ended like 14th last year. D Ford ended as the number one in total pressures for 2018. I think Frank Clark was 14th. So he's in there 60 plus pressures last season.
Yeah. And the best part about Frank Clark in that case, if you're going that down that direction, he's 25 years old. He's 3 years younger than Ford.
That's an investment you can make, right?
Absolutely. And he doesn't have a bad back history. He does have other baggage, and that's really the reason why I don't know that Kansas City really goes and makes this move, because to me, it's really hard to look at the Chiefs and look at what they've had to deal with over the past 3 years and think that they want to go out and get another guy that has past baggage. And I'm not trying to be up on a high horse at all, but Clark Hunt said that he wants to get players that don't have that character concern. And regardless of whether or not Clark has been the model citizen since he got in the NFL, which he has, he does have past baggage. So you have to wonder, is that something that Kansas City really wants to take on after, you know, Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, I think that very same thing. And it's interesting that it's a directive from the ownership that really is going to guide that, because I think, especially in certain situations, I think this staff, this front office staff, as well as Andy Reid, are a little bit more apt than some teams across the league to take chances on guys, to do second chances. And I think that's been proven not only through the Dorsey years, but in our current evolution of the front office right now. But, when Clark says it, that's what's going to happen. So I have to think that it's a longer shot than some Chiefs fans are trying to push for. And if you guys really know something inside from some agent or something that you want to share with me, you can ping us. You can ping us at Locked On Chiefs or ping us at one of our personal accounts and let us know. And if we're just off base on that, I'd like to have a good thing to go on.
Yeah. And, honestly, I was talking to somebody earlier today, and the asking price to me seems astronomical. I was told that the asking price was going to be a first and a second rounder, and I just have a hard time thinking that that's worth it.
No.
But it is something that's out there, so it is something that needs to be at least discussed. I really don't think that they go make that move. I would like to see them maybe try to improve their team, but really edge isn't necessarily the place that I would expect them to do that. You know, corner, maybe a safety, because to me it seems like they are going in a different direction of at least from their moves they've made so far. They're going in a different direction and not trying to necessarily worry about edge pressure as much as they are trying to worry about building up the back end.
Well, and I think they're very specific in what they are trying to do. There was a lot of rumor. Obviously, they were in on Earl Thomas. Came down to it that they were very much in on DeMarcus Lawrence as well. And I think that is telling you that they're trying to improve it, but they're not going to sell the farm for it.
Yep. And I think DeMarcus Lawrence would have been a great fit as well. I mean, he has injury history as well, so you have to be a little careful there. But he's another guy that would have fit this 4-3 scheme a lot better than Dee Ford would. So, it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out. Obviously, we're not even 2 weeks away from the draft anymore. That's fantastic news in and of itself.
It is. It's coming along. And folks, I will debut my draft board, not specific to the Chiefs, but mostly. That'll be out Monday, the 22nd, next Monday, the week of the draft. You will be able to have that. We'll probably do a show on it as well as a video. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
All right. Well, we need to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap this show up. A little bit more to talk about. And then obviously the Chiefs are in Arrowhead and doing their first phase of training. And we will get reports from that throughout the week.
We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season, and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time, and keep it locked on, Chiefs.
All right. So we've kind of talked about what they're doing in phase one. We've talked about a potential trade. What else is going on right now other than the NFL draft?
Well, one little thing, and folks, as we record this, they've been reporting, we've seen some pressers, a couple of little nuggets, and we talked a lot about Pat Mahomes off the start, but one that came through was from Bashaud Breeland. Obviously, a very storied past with this franchise, was in camp nearly an entire day for a visit last year. Was on the practice field,
which was nearly a done deal for a guy that doesn't sign with the team.
Right. Yeah. It was nearly a done deal. I think it came down to, Questions about that injury. He was out with the foot at the time, and I think he wanted a longer term contract, and the Chiefs just weren't willing to budge. But he comes back today, obviously having been signed a few weeks ago, reports to offseason training and says, you know, that he had a really great visit, was looking forward to it. So it wasn't specific about Bob Sutton, which is, you know, a positive sign in my book. But also said that, Pat Mahomes reminds him of the guy that he played with last season, because as his story went on, he was out for a number of weeks. But when he did sign, he signed in Green Bay and played with Aaron Rodgers and got to see that particular Hall of Fame quarterback go about his business. Although we've heard what the turmoil was going on in the meantime.
That's quite the story itself.
Yeah, right. Like, we don't even have time to go into that, folks, but it was a mess up in the land of cheese and honey. But he compared Pat Mahomes as a younger version of Aaron Rodgers, and that's a lot to take away.
Yeah. And when you see that from players, you know, honestly, I know it doesn't really, I hate saying it doesn't matter, because in reality, it really doesn't in the grand scheme of things. But it does mean a little bit to the players. And actually, I'm sure it probably means a lot to the players. The top 100 list that's coming out, that will come out right before the season starts. You have to wonder where Pat Mahomes is going to be on that in his first real year.
Right?
I mean, and I know you're talking about Aaron Rodgers and how they compare, but it's going to be very interesting to see how he shakes out against his peers in the NFL, because you hear players talk about him like he is the next Aaron Rodgers type of QB. And I'm not trying to say he's not. I'm just saying, to hear that praise of a kid that's 23 years old and has only started one season is phenomenal. And I'm not trying to take anything away from it at all, but, you know, you're sitting here going, man, if Kansas City has the next Aaron Rodgers, they should be good to compete for the next 10 to 15 years.
Right. And that season was exceptional.
And honestly, when you started bringing Breland up, I didn't think that was the direction you were going. I thought you were
getting there.
Okay.
But I do want to say this. I think we're going to have to wait to find out where Pat Mahomes falls in that top 100, because I think he's in the single digits. I think he might be a top three guy.
Well, I agree. I think he's going to be way up there. I don't know. You know, top three seems just astronomical to me, but with the season he had, he certainly could be. And, you know, everybody says I'm a hater. I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just trying to say it's amazing to me, and I'm not trying to say slow down the hype, but it's just to hear all of this from different players, perspectives, and obviously Breland is a Chief now. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but that's still impressive. Now, the thing that I thought you were going to talk about with Breland was that he was told that they were going to play a lot of man coverage. And that really is very surprising to me, because I didn't think they were going to play as much man. I thought they were going to go more zone, which would put a player like Byron Murphy in there a little bit better situation if they're playing zone more than maybe a Greedy Williams.
Right. And don't get me wrong, Byron Murphy's still the top corner on my board. That's not going to change. He's the better player between him and Williams. But Williams fits more if what Breland was told is correct, and he's telling us the truth, and, you know, whole nine yards, and not just talking to talk. But it does change the way this draft will fall for them, because Byron Murphy, while he can play some man, much like, you know, Marcus Peters could, they both come from that same system where they're better in off, almost zone depth. And so that might preclude him from that, but we won't know until we know. So I'm just going to leave them where they are.
No, and obviously we won't know until we know, as you so eloquently put. What will be very intriguing in this draft is seeing how the Chiefs, if they move around, how they move around, who they target, who they go get. But when you look at this defensive scheme, that we just have no idea where they're going. I understand they're going to be a 4-3, and generally Spags has played a 4-3 under, but he was out of football last year. I'm not so sure that we've seen what this defense will be under what Spags has done in the past. Now, don't get me wrong, there's going to be a lot of things that he's done in the past that we're going to see, and it's going to make sense. But I think he's got new wrinkles, and if they're really going to a man system like they told Breland, that really puts a huge emphasis on corners. And that's a fantastic thing for Kansas City, because that also means you're going to be more aggressive.
Exactly. And it also means that it may not be draft corners, because I think a lot of the corners in this group are better at off man or zone rather than up in people's faces. But given that you're at 29 and it looks like there's going to be a lot of movement, there could be a run on both corners and wide receivers in the picks leading up to where the Chiefs are picking now, I still feel like they're going to move up or move down. I don't think they're going to be at 29, but if they do, this brings DeAndre Baker back into the conversation. So that changes things as well.
Yep, certainly does. It's going to be a very fun couple of weeks. Draft is just right around the corner now at this point, and I cannot wait. The draft is one of my favorite weekends of the year, and got to admit, I really kind of hate the Avengers coming out draft weekend because I've got to figure out how to get the Avengers in while the draft is going on. But,
ooh,
yeah, I know you don't care.
No, I'll see it later. But, you know, folks, we will have pods for you in reaction all weekend long. I'll also be doing live reactions right after the picks on RGR Football. And if you missed anything in the film room last week, I took a look at just what Spags did in New York. And it's funny because, like Chris said, there's a lot of 4-3 under, but there's some over, there's base, zone, and man. So check that out on RGR Football on YouTube as well.
And like I said, I mean, like I said before, we don't know whether or not he's going to stick to what he's done. And with the personnel he's got, he may make changes that we don't see coming, and we're just going to have to wait until the season starts. And because I don't think you're going to see it in the preseason. I don't think you're really going to see it in training camp. They're not going to show it off until game one. And that's the way it should be. I'm looking forward to seeing what this defense can be, though. I don't think it's going to be a bottom fourth of the league anymore. I think they're going to have enough talent. Right.
Yeah, they're going to get up there. And that means basically, you know, somewhere above what? 22. Okay, I can live with that. That's actually kind of a large leap in one single season while making a change. So I would take that with you know, a smile on my face. So.
Well, and it shouldn't be that hard to be much better than they were last year. So there's that too.
Yeah, there's that.
Anyway, that is it for us today. Thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow, and have a great day.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.